Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2106, with a release date of Friday, March 9th, 2018, follows in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Australia's summits have a microwave moment. Swedish hams may be powering up. And in Ohio, careful radio listening helps save a life. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2106 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's only independent weekly amateur radio news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Picayune, Mississippi, here is Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
We open this week's report with this question: how high can you go when you're activating a summit? In this case, the steep climb doesn't necessarily refer to scaling a peak, but the band itself, as we hear from Robert Broomhead, VK3DN.
In Australia, the VK1 Association took a summit-to-summit adventure to a higher plane recently by making contacts on 2.4 gigahertz. Yes, that's the 13-centimetre band. In the mountains around Canberra, in Australia's Capital Territory, three activators accomplished their microwave contacts on March the 1st, Matt, VK1MA on Black Mountain, Andrew, VK1DA on Mount Coree, and Andrew, VK1AD on Mount Taylor. To round out the experience, they were joined by Al, VK1RX, who became the first VK1 operator to be a chaser on 2.4 GHz from his home QTH. These are Australia's first three SOTA summit-to-summit contacts on that frequency band. Other summit-to-summit operations were already planned for the 13-centimetre band in the days that followed, this time with five summits involved. When all was said and done, the hams then moved down to 1.2 gigahertz for a bit of a rag chew. It's probably not hard to guess what they talked about. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Robert Broomhead, VK3DN.
Speaking of SOTA summits, the Polish-led de-expedition team to Bouvet Island 3 Yankee Zero India will have the added benefit of being able to activate one as part of their visit to the remote island. The SOTA management team has classified Olaf Toppen, the island's highest point, as a valid SOTA summit with the identification code of 3 Yankee Stroke Bravo Victor 001. Olaf Toppen is 780 meters or not quite a half mile high and worth 10 points. If activated between the 16th of June and the 15th of October, the activator receives an additional 3 winter bonus points. Ham radio teaches us the art of careful listening. This month, that art of listening provided a lifeline in Ohio. Here's Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
So you're sitting in the ham shack, casually working some FT8, when all of a sudden your VHF radio is blaring with someone yelling, "Emergency! Emergency!" You answer the call and start calling 911. It's what we do, and it's what happened on March 3rd to Ken Gunton, W8ASA of Centerville, Ohio.
While I'm on the air, I always have my VHF, UHF radio scanning the local repeater frequencies, and on the W8BI, that's DERA repeater 14694, I suddenly heard this guy saying, "Emergency, emergency." So I put my attention on the radio and grabbed the mic. So I called him. I said, "This is W8ASA, you know, how can I help?" And he said, "My wife is suffering from extremely low blood sugar, and I need to get an ambulance out here right now. And he was very distraught, as you would be in an emergency like that. And I found out from some other hams later that he called out on several repeaters and was telling people, "I can't find my phone, I can't find my phone." I told him I would call and I would take care of it.
Ken was in his home in Centerville, which is 54 miles south of Sydney, Ohio, where the emergency was taking place. He was able to call his local 911 service and was eventually relayed to the proper authorities in Sydney.
I called back to the police department just to see if perhaps it was a hoax or if the people were all right. And the lady who answered said, "Yes, you know, they have a squad there and they were taking care of it, and no, it's not a hoax." And she appreciated my efforts, and so we hung up and I went on from there. So I was just glad to help. That is what we're here for.
For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG in Bloomington, Indiana.
The Radio Society of Great Britain has an election coming up, but before hams get to vote, they're going to need some candidates. Here's Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, with the latest.
What if they held an election and nobody came? Well, that's not quite the situation, but it's getting pretty close. As of the 2nd of March, the Radio Society of Great Britain had received no nominations for its election for the open president's post. The organization is now re-advertising the post in the hope that some names will be brought forward for candidates to serve the new term that runs from 2018 to 2020. The organization will not go leaderless, however, as the current president, Nick Henwood, G3RWF, has agreed to stay on until something is decided. In fact, the RSGB has posted a video on its website in which Nick talks about the president's role. If you visit the new president's page on the website, you'll find that video and also hear from three former RSGB presidents. So if you know someone who might be a likely candidate, or if you think you might be one yourself, you need to apply before the closing date of the 26th of April. Nominations may be submitted via the RSGB website. So visit www.rsgb.org/nominations to learn more. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
More Dayton Hamvention plans are falling into place. The Southwest Ohio DX Association has just booked its keynote speaker, as we hear from Stephen Kinford, NAWB.
Veteran DXer Gary Dixon, K4MQG, will address attendees at the Southwest Ohio DX Association's 33rd annual DX dinner during this year's Hamvention. The banquet will take place at the Marriott Hotel in Dayton on May 18th. Gary is not just a veteran DXer, but a veteran amateur, having been licensed more than 61 years ago. He's a past president of the International DX Association and has been involved with the group for more than three decades. He is in the CQ DX Hall of Fame and a charter member of the Carolina DX Association. He presently serves as the ARRL's DX Advisory Committee representative for the Roanoke Division. The South Carolina resident and his YL Carol, KA4WUR, have two sons and a daughter-in-law, all hams. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Stephen Kinford, N8WB.
In Tunisia, amateurs finally have a license to call their own. Here's John Williams, VK4JJW.
Tunisian radio amateurs who took and passed their licensing exam last December 20th are now holding a piece of history. The first individual licenses permitted in that country by the Tunisian regulator, the ANF. Last September, the ministry approved a law that granted individuals the right to have their own licenses, in line with hams in so many other nations. ARAT, the National Association of Tunisian Radio Amateurs, was a big proponent of this change. The first licenses were delivered on the 23rd of February during a special ceremony in the ANF offices in Tunis. 5 out of the 10 new licensees were present, and representatives from the ministry and some ARAT members were also on hand to mark the occasion. It's all done now, except, of course, getting on the air. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm John Williams, VK4JJW.
It's time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the Tri-Town Radio Amateur Club's WD9HSY repeater in Homewood, Illinois, on Wednesday nights at 8. Some things don't go out of style in ham radio, like a good rag chew. Like a beloved old rig, and oh yes, tubes. Combine those elements and you've got this next story from Paul Brown, WD9GCO, the latest in our occasional series, Nets of Note.
Nets are a very big part of amateur radio. There are nets for general rag chewing, working DX, emergency communications, and then there are those very specialized nets that cater to the one common interest. The tube net is that kind of net. I spoke with Jimmy Lamentier, WB2KNR Net Control.
The tube net was actually originated several years ago by an elderly gentleman who is the silent key of last November. WA4SDE, and his name was Danny Schrader. He started the tube net because he had a love for the older tube equipment because of the nice audio and so forth.
The requirements were pretty simple and straightforward.
If you have three tubes or more, either in the transmitter or the transceiver, you were allowed to check into the net. And when that control got your name and your full call, and then you gave a little bit about your station, like what your rig was, what kind of microphone you were using, if you were using an amplifier, and what your antenna was.
When Schrader became ill, he asked Lamentier to serve as net control from time to time. Eventually, he became full-time net control. According to Lamantier, it's a fairly active net, propagation permitting.
Band conditions, I think it was 18 check-ins the other night, but sometimes it's been as high as 25 and 30.
The tube net is held at 8 p.m. Eastern on the last Monday of every month. You can find them on 3.938 megahertz if the sun cooperates. So, if you share a love of radios that glow in the dark, you might want to try joining in the fun. Hybrid radios are welcome as well. Lamantier uses a Kenwood TS-520. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Paul Brown, WD9-GCO.
There's a price to pay for more transmitting power, as hams in Sweden may soon discover. Here's Ed Durant, DD5LP, with that report.
In Sweden, if you want to have a big booming signal that exceeds the minimum, it may end up costing you. An ARRL report says that Sweden's Post and Telecom Authority wants to drop transmitter output power for general operators to 200 watts PEP and charge an annual fee of $33 for any hams who wish to exceed that limit. The maximum power permitted on most HF bands is 1 kilowatt. In Sweden, operators who want to be radio amateurs must still pass a qualifying exam before receiving a call sign and operating certificate, both of which are valid for the person's lifetime. Under the new proposal, the annual fee would buy them 1 year's permission to operate at the higher power. The proposed change centres around an important issue. The regulator would like to be able to better trace any interference caused by those more powerful transmitters. Right now, the proposal is up for public comment in Sweden, with a March 30th deadline for input. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ed Durant, DD5LP.
Nigerian radio operators may gain access to a frequency well-suited to experimental use, as Jim Meechan, ZL2BHF, tells us.
Amateurs in Nigeria may soon look forward to operating on the 60 GHz, or V-band as it is known. The announcement by Umar Danbata, Executive Vice Chairman of the Nigerian Communication Commission, was made at the end of February, noting that a growing demand for wireless service has been spurred by new technologies. The 60 GHz band is a very wide frequency band, lending itself well to technical experimentation. The NCC chief said that experimental frequencies had become scarce due to the emergence of new technologies and growing demand of wireless services. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Meechan, ZL2BHF.
If you're near Charleston, West Virginia, get ready for some big action. Jim Dameron, N8TMW, explains.
The 34th annual Charleston, West Virginia Area Hamfest is almost here. Saturday, March 24th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Charleston Civic Center. This year's Hamfest will also be an ARRL West Virginia Section Convention with keynote speaker Steve Ewald, WV1X, ARRL Field Organization Team Supervisor. Also sharing in that ARRL forum will be N2COP, Roanoke Division Vice Director, and West Virginia Section Manager Dan Ringer, K8WV. YESU Rep. Corey Sickles, WA3UVV, will be talking about the System Fusion 2 in his forum. In addition to several dealers and numerous flea marketeers, there will be VE testing, as well as card checkers for DXCC, Worked All States, and VUCC. Prizes include first prize of $500 cash. For more information on the Charleston, West Virginia Hamfest, go to w8gk.org. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Dameron, N8TMW reporting.
We remind all listeners that we are accepting nominations for the 2018 Bill Pasternak WA6ITF Young Ham of the Year Award. If you know a promising young amateur who is 18 or younger and lives in the U.S., its possessions, or Canada, please download a nomination form from our website, arnewsline.org, under the YHOTY tab. Nominations are due May 31st, and the award will be presented in August at the Huntsville Hamfest. In the world of DX, IOTA chasers should be listening for YL2GM, YL1ZF, and YL2KL operating as 3 Charlie 3 Whiskey from Bioko and as 3 Charlie 0 Whiskey from Annobon, two islands of Equatorial Guinea, through March 27th. They'll be on 160 to 10 meters using CW, SSB, and RTTY, QSL direct to Yankee Lima 2 Golf November. On Easter Island, a group of operators is on the air as XR0YD until March 15th. Listen on 160 through 10 using CW, SSB, RTTY, and FT8. QSL via DL4SVA. Be listening for Ross, W2TT, and John, AF3K, from Turks and Caicos Islands from March 20th through the 27th. They'll also participate in the CQ Worldwide WPX using the call sign Victor Papa 5 Papa. You can hear them all week on 80 through 6 meters using SSB, CW, RTTY, FT8, and 6 meters, MSK-144, which is a meteor scatter mode, QSL via EQSL, Logbook of the World, and QRZ. There will also be club log uploads regularly, QSL via Whiskey 2 Tango Tango, $2 for paper cards. And our final story is a footnote. Literally, a footnote. We'll let Mike Askins, KE5CXP, explain.
Never mind having a good fist to send CW. Sometimes what's really needed is a great set of toes. Yes, toes. At the recent Mobile World Congress showcase in Barcelona, Sierra Wireless unveiled safety boots that are also two-way communications devices. They allow industrial workers who wear them to transmit distress calls by tapping out Morse-like codes with their feet. The footwear, which is outfitted with a SIM card and a wireless module, can also receive messages or reminders sent by the boss. These so-called smart shoes emit 80 decibels of sound. And while they're not the latest in fashion, they're definitely the latest in technology. What that means to their safety-minded wearer is that they do have to gain some fluency in their dots and dashes to make it work. After that, operation is entirely hands-free. Except, of course, for putting them on and lacing them up. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mike Askins, KE5-CXP.
With thanks to Allen Labs, the ARRL, ARAT, the BBC, CQ Magazine, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, the IARU, the Irish Radio Transmitter Society, the Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, the Radio Society of Great Britain, Sierra Wireless, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, Vanguard Nigeria, Waverly Amateur Radio Society, the Wireless Institute of Australia, WTWW Shortwave, and You Are Listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website at www.arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW, in Picayune, Mississippi, saying 7-3. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2018. All rights are reserved.